الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الناس إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this dunya. He has created this world. He has created the akhirat, that is the hereafter, Jannat, Jahannam. And it is our belief that all these things have been created already. And it is also our belief that the person who lives his life with iman and fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will enter into Jannah. And that person, Allah forbid, if he does not lead his life and he leaves this world without iman, then he will enter into Jahannam. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this insan that he has to pass a few stages before he reaches the akhirat. The first stage is when this insan is in the womb of the mother. And that is for a very short period. Generally it's about 9 months, sometimes less, sometimes more. Then the second stage is when this insan comes into this world. And this world being a darul imtihan, a place of imtihan, a place of test. And this second stage is going to determine his success or failure in the next two stages. And the average life that a person will live in this dunya is between 60 to 70. Here also, a person can go before that, a person can go after that person. The third stage is when a person will be in the qabr, that is barzakh, and that is not known how long a person is going to be there. But as I mentioned, that the second stage will determine what is going to be your fate in the qabr and in the akhirat. That is why Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to cry profusely in front of the qabr. And he used to say that this is the first stage. And if I pass this stage with ease, then the rest of the stages will become easy for me. And the final stage is the stage of the akhirat, where there is no end to that. It will never come to an end. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for the dunya. Allah Ta'ala has created the dunya for us, but He has created us for the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala has not created us that we make the dunya our main objective. The main objective is the akhirat. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complains about this insan. اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ That Qiyamah is so close. But this insan is ghafil, is negligent. He's not paying attention towards that akhirat the way he pays attention to the dunya. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi explains that this insan is so engrossed with the dunya that if he goes to some type of difficulty also, he can't think of anything else. Even though the difficulties of the dunya, there's always two possibilities. He may fail or he may win. But despite all that, he gets so engrossed and he gets so worried about it that he forgets about everything else. Whereas if a person, as far as the akhirat is concerned, if a person fails here, there's no two possibilities. There's only one possibility, and that you will be doomed in the akhirat. But a person is not thinking for one moment also, a person is not thinking of the akhirat. Whereas our main objective is the akhirat. Our main objective is not the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complaining that the insan is more worried about the dunya, is forgetting about the akhirat. This does not mean that a person cannot live in the dunya. So Mufti Taqi Osmani, Damat Barakatum, explains, he said, many people, they get confused. When we speak about the akhirat, that you have to worry about the akhirat, they think we are saying that you mustn't worry about the dunya. Then at the same time, when they worry about the dunya, then they get so worried about the dunya that they forget the akhirat. So what's the balance? So he gives an example. He says a person builds a house, he has a bedroom, he has the lounge, he has the kitchen, and he has all the different rooms that he has in his house, plus he also has a toilet also. But if a person builds a house with everything, all the bedrooms and everything, but he leaves out the toilet, what you'll say? The toilet is an important part of the house, but it's not the object of the house. A person doesn't sleep whole day in the toilet, sit whole day in the toilet. So the toilet is needed in the house, but is not the main part of the house. He says similarly, the akhirat is our objective. The dunya is just like the toilet that you have in the house. We have to use it according to need, but no one sits the whole day worrying about the toilet. So likewise, we should live into the dunya according to the need. What we need for the dunya, that will help us and assist us for the akhirat, we will use the dunya. What will assist us to fulfill our needs of the dunya and the world, we will use it. But not more than that, where we start worrying so much about the dunya that we even forget about the other parts of the house and we even forget about the akhirat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in many places of the Quran Sharif also that make preparation for the akhirat. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ O those who have brought iman, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see what you have prepared for the akhirat. What you have prepared for the akhirat. And every day we should take stock of ourselves. How much time am I spending for my worldly things and how much time am I spending for the akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His kindness did not tell us to sit all the time in His ibadat. Even though Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I've created you for my ibadat. If Allah wanted, Allah would have told us all the time, sit one side and just make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah in His infinite mercy, as Shaykh Zakariya sahab rahmatullahi alayhi explains, that Allah in His infinite mercy did not do that. Why? Because he knows that this insan also has needs also. And if he's not going to fulfill those needs, he's going to become weak. How is he going to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Secondly, ulama have mentioned that if a person leads his life, his 24 hours, If he leads it according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be his beliefs, whether it be his ibadat, all his ibadat, like his worship, like salah, fasting, zakat, etc. Or whether it deals with his mu'amalat, his business dealings with others, his business is according to Shariat, everything is according to Shariat. And his mu'asharat, his social dealings, if he does everything according to Shariat, then he is 24 hours in ibadat. He is 24 hours in ibadat. So a person had to make that preparation for the year after. And we need to take stock of ourselves every day. What preparations are we making? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned one hadith that when a person passes away, then three things follow him. One is his wealth, second is his family, and third is his amal. Three things follow him. But two things will return, because those two things are only restricted to the dunya and the world. And the one thing will remain, that is his amal. Abdullah bin Qurz radiallahu anhu in Hayatul Sahaba has mentioned that he explains this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as though three people have come to the person who is the maid, he is about to pass away now. He got three people who he looks up to. So he calls the first person, that is his wealth. And his wealth tells him, see, as long as you got life in you, I can use my power, I can use my muscle. If you need a doctor, I'm there, you can pay with me. If you need any other thing, whilst as long as you got life, I'm there to help you. But once that life is gone, I'm also gone. But now I am no more yours. I will have to go to the family. I will have to go to the family. They will inherit me. Second is a person's family will come in front of him. And they will tell him, see, we not like your wealth. We will not stay there until you pass away. When you pass away, you are about to pass away, we will come right next to you. We will stand next to you also. Yes, we can't stop Malakul Maut. The angel of death, we can't stop him. We will just stand from far and we will watch you. We cannot interfere with death. Allah says in Surah Waqiyah, فَلُوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. That at that time when you're watching the person that is passing away, you are watching it. Can you put back the life? You can't put back the life. You just have to watch as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out the malakul maut, he takes out the life of the person. So this person is saying, the family is saying, we will stand with you. After that, we will even give you your ghusl also. We will bring you up to the grave. But that's as far as we can go. We cannot go further than that. We will put you into the grave and then we will also have to leave. Then the third thing comes, that is a person's a'mal. And a person's a'mal will come and tell him that the other two could only go till that far. But we will not leave you, we will not abandon you. We will jump in the grave with you, in the pit. With you we will jump. And we will be with you at all times. That is why it comes in the riwayat. That when the angels come into the grave to even to question the person, and the angels of punishment want to come and punish this person, then from all sides a person's amal, on his head side he'll have his salah, on his right hand side he'll have his fasting, on the left hand side he'll have his zakat, on his feet he'll have all the other good actions that will protect him, and they'll tell those angels that you cannot come close to this person. He was protecting us while he was living. We will protect him after he has passed away. So a person is protected by his a'mal. Therefore the a'mal will say that I will not abandon you when you really need me. You must not abandon me whilst you are in the dunya. As long as you don't abandon me in the dunya, and you fulfill all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when you pass away, then I won't abandon you. So we need to see what actions are we doing, that when we pass away, those actions will continue and those actions will assist us after we pass away. Because when a person passes away, there's so many stages that they have to pass. One is the stage of the qabar. One is the stage in akhirat also, he has to go to so many stages. One is the stage when he'll come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the stage of reckoning and hisab kitab. Then there's a stage of even waznul a'mal, where a person's actions will be weighed. Then there's a time when he'll have to go over the pul sirat. Then before that, he'll even come in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the stage of the Hawz al-Kawthar, where you have to, there are different stages that a person has to pass. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been so kind to us that he has mentioned different actions that will assist a person in each stage. Just like how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنُ آدَمْ إِنْ قَطَ عَمَلُوا إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثِ, that a person, when he passes away, all his actions are closed. أَوْ صَدَقَةٌ جَارِيَةٌ, one is the صَدَقَةِ جَارِيَةٌ, there's continuous sadaqah that will assist you even after you pass away, as long as people are benefiting from that charity. As long as they are benefiting from that charity, you'll also benefit with the reward. It could be a borehole that a person had put up. It could be a masjid that a person had put up. People are benefiting from it. It could be a house that you gave a person and he's benefiting from it. And he's doing good actions also. And that's going to benefit you. Or ilmun yuntafa'u bihi, or knowledge. Beneficial knowledge that you gave a person. You told a person about salah. You taught him about salah. Then that person, as long as he's reading his salah, as long as he's reading his Quran, you are benefiting from it. Now a person may think, only an ustad, he can get that benefit. No, even the parent can also get that benefit. Every parent is in charge of his child's ta'aleem and the child's education, Islamic education. He may not be teaching the child physically, but he's paying for that ta'aleem. He's paying for that education, Islamic education, and he will also get the benefit as though he's the one that gave him the ta'aleem. So when a person is paying for the thing, ilmun yuntafa'u bi, now the child grows up, whatever good actions he's doing, then it's not only going to benefit, it's going to benefit the person that has passed away. It's going to benefit the child also, and it's also going to benefit the parents that left away. And there are so many incidents, as Shaykh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, in his Fazail al-Sadaqat, he has mentioned about a youngster. Once a saint, he saw a dream that he's in a qabrustan, he's in a graveyard, and all the qubur, people from the qabrustan, everyone woke up from their graves. And there's some person that is giving them something, everyone is running towards that person, but one person is not going. He's not running. So he went up to the person, in a dream, he went up to the person, and he asked him, what are all these people doing? He replied, that these are all the isalu sawab. People are sending good actions and isalu sawab for the mayyat and the people that have passed away. These people are going to collect it. So he said, you're not running? He said, no, I got a son. Every day he reads one Quran for me. And because of that, alhamdulillah, I'm getting this isalu sawab. Coming directly to me. So that pious child that you left behind is going to assist you. Then on another occasion, he saw another dream. And then when he saw the dream, this time he saw that this person was also running. So he asked him, why are you running now to get it? He said, no, my son passed away also. Now there's no one to read for me. So therefore, even the son has passed. So we don't know, we leave that pious child and you taught him deen and he'll be sending to us the good actions, will benefit the child also and it's also going to benefit us. Likewise, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in one hadith, لا تزول قدم ابن آدم حتى يسأل عن خمسة, that a person's feet will not be able to move on the day of Qiyamah until he's asked those five questions. One is about his life, عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه. He'll be asked about his life, he'll be asked about his youth, especially his youth. So how a person has spent his time, if a person has to employ someone, then at the end of the month, he wants to see what work the person has done also. If the person sat, never did anything, he's not deserving of being paid also. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased our life so that you can get Jannat. Allah is going to see now that your life that I gave you, how did you spend it? Did you spend it in my obedience? Or did you spend it in my disobedience? Especially your youth. Why? Because that youth is such a time where a person has all that passion, etc., that is so strong in him. All the distractions that are there. When a person gets a little bit older, he's a little bit weak. His passions also become weaker. But when a person is young, at that time his passions are very, very strong. At that time, if he goes against his passions and his desires in fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says that I will give you a place under my arsh. شَابٌ نَشَعَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. One of the people will be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will be that youngster. So a person will be asked about his life, especially his youth. He'll also be asked about his mal, his wealth. How did you earn your wealth? How did you spend your wealth? Some people think that if I earn my wealth in a haram way, I'll give some charity, maybe all of that wealth will become purified. No. It is a sin also that a person has got haram wealth and then after he spends it, hoping to get reward also, it's a sin. So a person will be asked about his wealth. How did you earn? Was the interest involved? Was there gambling involved? Was there cheating and deceiving involved? How did you earn your wealth? And how did you spend your wealth? Did you spend it in the right places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you to spend? Or did you spend it in the improper places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you not to spend? And then lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also going to be asking about that knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Who doesn't know that namaz is fard? Who doesn't know that zakat is fard? Who doesn't know to harm a person is haram? And to take the rights of people, who doesn't know it's haram? Yet day in and day out, whether with our tongues, whether with our hands, whether with our actions, we are hurting people. We are breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us from all these ahadith that make preparation for the akhirat. Because the akhirat is our main objective. Not the dunya. Yes, we have to live in the dunya, but we have to live in the dunya to prepare for the akhirah. We must not be short-sighted. We must be far-sighted. Everyone makes preparations for tomorrow. But which tomorrow are we making preparations for? For the temporary tomorrow, or the tomorrow which is everlasting? So we should be far-sighted and make that preparation for the akhirah, so that we can enjoy this life also, and we can enjoy even the year after. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal on what I have said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.